This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Don't mind us. We're just here on a Monday to coast you through to the holiday. And yes, that is me in the commercial, not Officer Farva.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you do with that mustache. That thing's got to go. I missed
Have
the commercial, I guess, last
worse
night.
In your life?
I mean, that picture of you is really bad. You look like a police officer in a small town in Illinois.
Kind of look like a pedo.
I mean, like if you had a white van, you'd be in trouble, my friend. Like,
I think that's the audio I used. Said I look like I drive a van with tinted windows.
Oh my God! What I missed the commercial last night. I must have not seen it or not paid attention or was watching something else at the time. But I woke up to a text message from certain individuals going, "What are we doing here?" So Dusty, you got to shave that mustache, my friend.
I mean, you got a full beard.
It looks fine, yeah, but that mustache alone, like you're not picking up with that look.
Like somebody asked me, like, didn't you know you were shooting a commercial? I'm like, they told us we had to like read some lines. They didn't say it was going to go on TV.
Yeah, and this big in pictures and things like that. But
the only good thing out of all of that is that our creative content designer Sophie is a G on that. Like, yeah, she was great.
She did a great job on it. You with the mustache,
not
so
good. So
much.
I thought we were supposed to like this guy. Not anymore. You're not.
Children, stay away from this gentleman if you happen to see him in Lee's Summit.
Sir, can you please get out of the carpool pickup lane?
Yeah. Sir. Yes. Back to you right now.
After
right?
seeing that commercial, I look like I do blank.
Yeah.
Not radio. Fill in the blank.
Drugs. Lots of them.
Where'd you find this guy, Uncle D's? Yeah,
this guy was hanging out in St. Joe in 2014, and he was the last one to smoke a cigarette inside, and here we are.
Woof.
I tell that Uncle D's story a lot, man. Guy took off his fake leg, scratched his nub, lit up a dart, and I tell you what, that was Uncle D's in a nutshell, brother.
Oh, did he use his nub to strike the match?
No, he did not.
It
would have been a lot cooler if he used the nub as a match striker, though. Yeah, it would. Still, like to this day, I'm still sitting there and I still picture a guy sitting at the corner of the bar, takes his fake leg off, puts it on the bar. Sir, no feet on the bar. It's my leg. Scratches his nub, lights a cigarette, and sits there and smokes for 4 hours and ate free donuts.
Well, happy Monday to everybody.
Yeah. Is anybody working this week, by the way?
I wondered.
Because, like, schools are out and everything. So is anybody working this week, or is everybody just kind of hanging out this week? What are they doing?
I think everybody kind of works Monday, and then Tuesday is the coin flip.
They start to kind of...
I think Tuesday is the day where it's like...
Wean away.
Wednesday, like, half the population's off.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
I'm almost positive. Because somebody was asking me, like, we went to Johnny's Tavern yesterday to watch the first half because we had some buddies in town. And somebody's like, do you have to do the show on Wednesday? I'm like, well, yeah, we're on from like 6 to 10 a.m. I was like, I don't really have an excuse. Like, if I was Carrington.
Right. The afternoon, different story.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah. Cody and Gold, probably, like, Alex is off the whole week.
Yeah, Alex is gone all week. And usually it's, you know, we travel usually for Thanksgiving. This is one of the rare years where we're not. So I'm like, yeah, I'll be here on Wednesday. I got nothing to do except pick up that turkey at Smokehouse after the show. And other than that, hey, I'm good to go for Thanksgiving. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a fun short week. And hopefully it's a fun short week inside Arrowhead and they get this thing moving in the right direction where people can be satisfied. Because if you look at the text message line this morning, which I don't encourage many people to do, seems like a an avenue of broken dreams or whatever it is on the text line for a 10-1 football team. But I think I kind of told you and warned you a little bit. It probably wasn't going to be a blowout on Sunday. I know everybody wanted it, but I mean, now the quarterback wants it. So hopefully against the Raiders on Friday, maybe it starts turning into blowout city to make everybody a little bit more relaxed about what they're seeing. But you don't apologize for an NFL win, right? You're 10-1 and you move on. But aesthetically pleasing? No, not at all. I didn't want to be paying attention in the fourth quarter yesterday.
I think
So this is what Mahomes' comments were.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to have some blowouts. You want to be a little calmer in the fourth quarter. But I've always said it can be a good thing as you get to the playoffs and later in the season. Just knowing that you've been in those moments before and knowing how to kind of attack it but play by play, not making it too big of a moment. But, no, I mean, I would say this more than anybody. I would love to win a game, not by the very last play.
Yeah, I mean, we all would, but, you know, he's right. I mean, the postseason isn't going to be blowout city unless you get some rum-dum in the first round, and I don't know who a rum-dum is right now in the first round of the playoffs in the AFC, because they're AFC, though, but they're not they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Jets.
They're not going to be in the playoffs.
Oh, I thought you were saying rum-dum.
Oh, no, like playoff team right now. Like, you're not going to have, like, last year or 2 years ago, it was Pittsburgh or whatever it was in the first round, you know? Like,
well, and you won't play in the first round.
Right, exactly.
So either way, you're getting a good team.
You're getting a good team, and so you're going to have to win close games. You're not going to be able to go out there and blow somebody out in the postseason, so you learn how to win close games right now. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of the spoiled bus being ridden here in Kansas City by, you know, a certain group of the fan base. And you and I were talking beforehand, like, this thing in San Francisco right now, man, put yourself in their shoes. That sucker is done out in San Francisco, and they have zero championships. So sometimes you just need to take a step back a little bit and remember perspective, because San Francisco is about ready to close up shop for the season. They're not going to the postseason, and they went to the Super Bowl twice in the last 4 years, never kicked in the door, never capitalized, blew two big leads in the playoffs, right? And here we sit winning back-to-back Super Bowls, and you open the text line this morning and people are losing their mind, and I just kind of laugh at it sometimes and go, perspective, man. Keep it in perspective of where we are, where we were, and what other teams are going through right now in the NFL. We got it really good here in Kansas City.
I think there's I agree. I'm not going to say that, you know, that you're wrong saying that we should enjoy the Chiefs. But here's where I'm at. And I think this is where I think some people are at as well. And if I'm not, but I think that this team is good and stayed good, that you have, I guess, you're allowed to have the, you could call it unnecessary bitching, I guess some people would say. Like, it's a term we use in golf, right? You didn't hit your shot well, but you're on the green, Frank.
Right.
Get over it. You're still putting for a birdie. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to be about 10 feet closer. Well, we all would.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, like, we'd all like to be, you know.
That was a game yesterday, and I'll be honest, was very frustrating to watch.
Oh, very frustrating. And for me to say it's frustrating to watch, you know it was frustrating. It was frustrating yesterday.
Because I don't know where 95's been.
Right.
And I'm tired of hearing it, but he gets pressure. Get a sack.
Yeah.
7 weeks without one.
That's a big number. You said that to me this morning, and I was like, whoa. Like they use the term taken aback, you know?
Like,
but 7 weeks without a sack for Chris Jones? Let's go, man.
We haven't seen that moment, right, for,
time to play
for a guy that can take a guy like Bryce Young and sack him, make it third. Penalties, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that was not great. The offensive line, it continues to be an issue.
Right.
And I think that we can all get on the same page here, because you played that way against Buffalo and you lost.
Mm-hmm.
You played that way against Carolina, you won by three because Mahomes had to be perfect. Mahomes was fantastic.
He was great yesterday. My God, was he good.
And the only reason the Chiefs won that game is because Carolina didn't know who they were.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina forgot, oh, this is why Josh Allen sat on the bench. Even though there was 8 seconds left, he was still biting his fingernails because he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Mahomes the ball back like a minute 30 left.
Yeah.
So Mahomes had all the time in the world to go down, get a field goal.
Plenty of time.
And do all the things he needed to do, and he used his legs as well, and it looked like vintage playoff-style Mahomes.
That's right.
I know the other side of the argument is they're 10-1. These games don't matter as long as they win. You'll never go back next year and be like, you remember that game against Carolina? They only won by three. But the thing is that if you do give it the sort of cruise ship metaphor, there's a few issues on your boat that need to be repaired.
No doubt.
Your defense is showing a little bit of lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. 95 points in the last four games, giving up an average of 23.5.
Yeah, this defense is not playing great right now.
When before, they were beating teams and only allowing 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about y'all, but yesterday, everybody in Carolina's front office goes, that's the quarterback we drafted, and he did it against the Chiefs defense.
And he did, yeah. He was great yesterday.
To have the conversation, is the Chiefs defense getting this bad, or did Bryce Young just elevate himself against the best of the best of the best, sir? Because like everybody else says, well, everybody gets the Chiefs Super Bowl. Everybody gets the other team's Super Bowl against the Chiefs. That's fine. But if that's the case, if Carolina played like that all year, they wouldn't be the laughingstock of the NFL. That was the worst team in the NFL yesterday.
One of the worst teams in the NFL. I think the Giants and Jets are probably a little bit worse off than the Carolina Panthers are right now.
It's a lot of really bad teams.
They're up there. They're definitely up there. Yes. But you would have looked at Bryce Young yesterday and thought he was in the MVP conversation.
He looked good. He was really good.
It
was a step back. There was a couple of, you know, bad calls on both sides. It just was not a very enjoyable game.
No, it was not. And that's okay to say.
And when I look at that game, like I said, there are things that need to be fixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll be better once you get Isaiah Pacheco back and you can split the carries between he and Kareem Hunt. Maybe you get, you know, Hollywood Brown back towards the end. The offense gets an uptick. I'm not hanging on a bound for that. I'm just waiting for that to just do its own self out. But again, man, 95 points in the last four games, and you played Carolina, Denver, and Tampa Bay, and Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Buffalo's got a good offense. Denver, Bo Nix carved you up. Bryce Young carved you up. Josh Allen carved you up. Baker Mayfield carved you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not concerned about the offense at all. They put up 30 points yesterday. The only concern I have on the offense obviously got fixed on Friday with DJ Humphreys coming in here, and hopefully he can slide in, you know, to that left tackle spot sooner rather than later, because Wanya Morris is no good. But that's the only concern I have on offense. They put up 30 yesterday. The big concern right now is the defense and the invisible Chris Jones. And as you mentioned, 7 weeks without a sack. If you're going to be in that conversation as the best at your position, you can't go 7 weeks without a sack. And again, I'm with you. I don't want to hear about triple teamed and pushing pressure and all this kind of stuff. Aaron Donald came up with sacks just about every single week. TJ Watt's coming up with sacks just about every single week. You know, there are a lot of good players in the NFL that are finding ways to get to the quarterback. Chris Jones needs to be welcomed back to the party because for the last 7 weeks, he's been non-existent. And to me, this is nothing about the offense. This is all about the defense for the last month of the season, playing like they are bored. And they may very well be bored, but you got to start playing better now because the calendar has turned to Thanksgiving. And now we are getting to that nut cutting time where it's time to start playing a little bit better than you have over the last month.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, not the whole offensive. I mean, the tackles, but then once they start getting, you know, blown off their rockers, the guards in the center start to get worn
trickle
out.
Trickle down effect.
Damn grifters out here on tackles.
I mean, we got to do something, man, because that Wanya Morris, he stinks.
Well, they got that guy from from Arizona.
Yeah,
they
who
got
hasn't DJ played Humphreys. All year. We'll see. You know, that's what I'm saying. Hopefully he's good. We'll see what happens. But that's the area on offense that they need to get better. Nothing else. I think offensively, they put up 30 points. That's good yesterday. Defensively, hey, it's okay to start playing again.
We'll talk about that left tackle and the possibilities of what it can do to this offense on the other side. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5.
Second and four, Mahomes under center, Creed Humphrey. At the Carolina 43, play action fake. They're going to run a screen at the right hash. It goes to Kelsey, two blocks. Kelsey 30, upended as he gets to the 25-yard line. Just outside the right hash. And now Travis Kelsey with those yards receiving, third all-time in National Football League history for receiving yards by a tight end and a catch of 19.
Solid day for 87 there. Another notch on the resume. You were saying Mahomes stats last five games.
Yeah. Pretty good.
You have him in front of you?
Yeah, I do. He's pretty good. You want to know how good Patrick Mahomes has been over the last five games? Then we'll do a little comparison here real quick, Dusty. Okay. Last five games, okay? So that's five games. They have one loss in that. 71.7% completion percentage.
Solid.
1,284 yards.
Good.
12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Smash.
Yep. That's a pretty good last month of the season. He's getting hot. Offensively is not the problem here. I know everybody wants to point at the offense and say, why aren't they scoring 35 points a game?
They tied their season high yesterday.
They scored 30. How about, is it okay to call out Spags? Is it okay to call out the defense?
No.
Or do we like those guys too much? We need to pat them on the head and say it's okay, but let's just make fun of Wanya Morris all afternoon, right? Because Patrick Mahomes' first six games, 67.9% completion rate, 1,389 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. production. Mm-hmm. So he's getting better as the season gets into the part that is the most important part of the season, obviously, and that is down the stretch. But I think, you know, as Dusty pointed out earlier, I mean, like, there's only so much this offense can do. I mean, you're scoring 30 points a game against the Carolina Panthers. That should not be a ball game, right? Mm-hmm. So is it okay to call out the defense? Is it okay to have these hard conversations about Spags and Chris Jones? And where's George Karlaftis been this year, too? I mean, like, I'm not talking recently, like all year. Where has George Karlaftis been, right? He's on a milk carton right now. And so I think there are certain players that we just kind of give a free pass to. But at the end of the day, these are the players that need to step up and make the plays. And it's Chris Jones and George Karlaftis and, you know, Trent McDuffie and Justin Reed and Nick Bolton. Those are your leaders of your defense. Those are the guys that need to be involved. We shouldn't be relying on Leo Chenal to make plays on defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think that, again, I understand this is like what they would consider in baseball the dog days of summer. Mm-hmm, you're kind of in that lull of the season where you're like, yeah, another game, another day.
Right.
It's Carolina. We don't need to do much to beat them. Just beat them. But again, obviously my frustration from yesterday had a lot to do with what I was expecting.
Sure.
Because even you were like texting me on Saturday and you're like, you know what? You might actually get your blowout.
You may get your blowout. I felt after like, Friday night, we may get a blowout.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of, you know, kind of felt that way. Like, this is one of those. And like the way that they orchestrated that opening drive, I was looking at it like, hey, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Mahomes is pissed. Like, he wants to shut a lot of people up. They're going to go out here and win this game 30-3.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Well, the offense, again, did their part. Had the defense gotten a couple of stops against one of the arguably worst draft picks in modern history in the NFL, we would have been talking about a blowout right now. Like, offensively, they were dialed in. You mentioned the word perfect when you talked about Patrick Mahomes. I'm not arguing with you on that. That guy was freaking brilliant yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it was not just the last run, you know, that he did. Mm-hmm. He was almost perfect yesterday. What, 22 or 27 passing? I mean, he was as good as you could possibly be in a game. This offense was good. This defense, yo, start playing. Stop reading your press clippings and start playing defense.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of issues with kind of the second secondary. Like, I mean, Reed got cooked yesterday.
He did, yeah.
It was not a good game for Justin Reed. And, like, I'd like to see maybe get some more rotation with Jaden Hicks in there. I think Jaden Hicks is a baller. I think Justin Reed's a veteran stud. He's obviously not like, oh, it's, you know, you want to get a new, like, not that. But it's like, maybe, like, you know, mix some things up a little bit more. You know, I don't know, man. It just seems that, like, when you're playing a guy like Bryce Young, you should have had him in, like, a fickle mind.
Yeah,
and he didn't. He looked cool, calm, and collected out there, and so did Bo Nix. So did all these other. I mean, obviously Josh Allen's always going to look that way against anybody because he's Josh Allen. But again, it was one of those games. It was like, it was a win, but it was unsatisfying.
Sure. Yeah, right? Absolutely. Like Mahomes was dropped 5 times yesterday, right? Sacked 5 times.
Jeez.
We only had 2 sacks yesterday, and one of those was a stop on like a 3rd-and-1 run where he got no gain, and they count that as a sack. Yeah. We're not getting to the quarterback. I mean, Mac, you mentioned it last week, under 20 sacks on the season, you know, going into the game, right? And I don't know what they have, 19 or whatever it is, and now
21.
They got 21 sacks on the season. Like, you're not calling mom and bragging about that,
57
right?
57 sacks last season for this team.
Right, and so, I mean, with how many games left to go in the season, there's no way they're going to get 30 more sacks to match what he did, you know, or 40 more sacks, quite honestly.
Karlaftis and Jones get busy.
Yeah, unless they get busy, because maybe Charles Omenihu can help that, and I think that's a great addition to have coming back, some fresh legs on the, you know, the defensive side of things a little bit. But, I mean, ultimately, you've got to find a way to start getting more pressure on the quarterback, and not pressure on the quarterback, but bringing the quarterback to his knees and collapsing him. And who did you say is playing for the Raiders this week?
Desmond Ridder. Gardner Minshew's out for the season.
Yeah, he broke his collarbone yesterday. Wow. And so now you've got Desmond Ridder back there. Don't allow Desmond Ridder to sit back there and pick you apart and have this great game on Black Friday. You need to get after that guy. Like, it's time to start getting healthy now on the defensive side of the football, because if they play like that defensively, like they have for the last 2 weeks, well, then we will be talking about an early January this year. I don't want to talk about an early January.
Yeah, Chris Jones, like you said, I mean, he's getting the pressures, 4th in pressures right now in all the league, but it doesn't. Yeah, I know, but not
that's
finishing.
Like hard hit rate. Okay, bring me your hard hit rate.
No, I get it. I would just say that it's the only difference is that he is the one setting up a lot of people. Last year,
what though, people though? They have 19 sacks.
Well, that's the point. 21. Is there's not the other person, Bob? Yeah. Last year it was Karlaftis with 10.5 sacks. Yeah. Where is he?
Where's he?
Where is he? Yeah, Aminahue was healthy last year. Aminahue not.
No, he was not though. Aminahue didn't come back to like mid-season last year.
But then in that second half of the season, huge bump. Uche played 11 snaps yesterday.
Yeah, that guy's not finding his way into the lineup at all.
Exactly.
But I mean, like hard hit rate and pressure rate, all that big deal. That's what you say when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Anybody telling you about hard hit rate is making up things because they're not getting the job done. Well, he's hitting the ball on the screws, so.
That was like the narrative for Whit Merrifield's final year in Kansas City.
Oh, God, yes.
Bryce Young yesterday, 21 to 35, 263 and a touchdown.
Say it again.
21 to 35, 263 and a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a good day. It's a real good day.
Josh Allen. Obviously, Josh Allen is Josh Allen. 27 of 40, 262.
Mm-hmm.
And then had the game-winning run.
Right.
This was Bo Nix's line against the Chiefs. He was 22 of 30, 215, two touchdowns.
Guys are comfortable in the pocket against the Chris Jones and the Chiefs. They just are because nobody's getting home. Nobody's getting to the quarterback. They're back there, and they feel like they've got all day. And when you have all day, it's easy to pick apart a defensive backfield, regardless of who's playing.
Because wouldn't you say, I mean, to the pressure thing that we were kind of talking to each other in the break, wouldn't you say that, like, the modern-day quarterback is a little bit more comfortable rolling out and letting it get time so they can plant, let the route develop, and then throw it, which Bryce Young, at least in my opinion, was allowing the middle of the pressure to come, rolling out right or left, and then stopping and finding his guy. I mean, what was that guy's name? Something Moore?
David Moore.
David Moore, yeah.
What? 8 for 80 and a touchdown? Exactly. Like,
yeah.
I mean, crazy. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I understand the pressure thing. I get it. Like, 95's on the field. No sacks in seven weeks.
It. Yeah.
Right? That's like paying Aaron Judge to hit home runs and in a home run in 2 months.
2 months. No, that's exactly
and
what
you're
that's
like. Dude,
yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, oh, but I mean, he's getting on base and he's getting in because they're not pitching to him. I didn't give him $150 million to walk.
Right.
Like, so it's like, yeah, the pressure thing's cool. For about 4 or 5 weeks, it'll buy you some time.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of got to just, like, take over.
And especially when you sign that big contract,
you're that
too.
Type of dude.
Yeah.
Now, I get it. I'm with you, too, Mac. Like, you need – it's not one – it's tough when it's 1 versus 6. And Karlaftis has been extremely disappointing this season.
Very disappointing, yes. Especially in a year where he can talk about a contract.
Felix, time to move on. If you're only playing, what, 12?
Played 12 snaps yesterday.
12 snaps.
That's not a lot.
You're a first-round draft pick. But he was from the Kansas City draft. Done. I'm over it. Yep. Karlaftis, step the F up, dude. You're a first. Like, if we're going to do this with Chris Jones, and we're going to say, hey, the money's there. Karlaftis, you're a first-round pick.
Karlaftis has an opportunity to negotiate his contract after this season as well,
too. I'm not giving that guy money at all after this
year. I'm not talking to him.
Especially with the way that position gets paid.
Yeah, I'm not talking to him after this season. Sorry, man. You laid a dud in a year. If he goes out and has another 10.5 sack year, then you're having conversations with Karlaftis.
Maybe I eat crow in the last 6 weeks of the season. He has 2 sacks every game.
Great.
That would be awesome.
And he finishes with, 17 sacks. I think he's got 4.
Right.
I mean, tell me you're a defensive end. And you got 4 damn sacks in 12 weeks?
I think Mike Dana may have more.
At least I saw his number on the field yesterday.
I think he's a really good player. Like, but he's not your star.
No.
But when he's like arguably your best defensive lineman right now, something isn't right. And so that's where Chris Jones needs to get this thing right. He's the veteran leader on that field. Mike Pinnell, the stupid play by throwing a running back to the ground. You can't have stuff like that happen. You got to eliminate those bad penalties. George Karlaftis needs to start showing up to work. You know, guys, Derek Nnadi, is he still on the team? Tershawn Wharton. I mean, every once in a while you'll see something, but that's a guy from Raleigh. I mean, you're not expecting a lot by him. Mm. It has to be back to your leaders. And unless they get to the quarterback, Trent McDuffie's going to look a lot worse. Nazi Johnson's going to look a lot worse. Justin Reed's going to look a lot worse. When you give that quarterback time, but not just give him time, when he starts to believe that he's got time and he's comfortable back there in the pocket, he's going to play above his level. And that's what we saw with Bryce Young yesterday. He got comfortable early on in that game, never really faced pressure, never faced a pass rush, didn't really have to avoid anybody. It's like, oh, okay, I can get comfortable. I can take my time. I don't have to rush. And even if it is Bryce Young, and you give him time, he's going to be able to pick apart a defense, because defensive backs aren't going to be able to cover all day long. It's just human nature, right? Like that's you know, that's inertia or gravity or something. You know, Sir Isaac Edison came up with that thing in Newark back in the day.
Okay.
So like it's just hard to go out there and cover somebody all afternoon when you're not getting to the quarterback. And if you can't get to the quarterback and you're just rushing your four on your defensive line, then maybe it's time to look for some improvements on the defensive line. While we're all focused on Wanya Morris and bringing in DJ Humphreys, and that's a good move, hopefully Charles Omenihu can add something to the defensive line that we haven't seen over the last seven games or so.
No, I mean, look, they're 10-1, and I comp this to the, I guess I'll keep it cleaner this time, but unnecessary complaining. That's what we're doing.
That's
today.
Exactly what we're doing.
Because that's what we're allowed to do as an organization that follows this team. They're 10-1. Love it.
Great.
Still the number one
micro
seed.
Micro versus macro, right?
But when your goal every year is to win a Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
you have these conversations. Whereas, like, when your goal is just to be a playoff team, the conversation is a little bit different. So you can nitpick, right, when it comes to this team. Hey, guys, they're 10-1. I totally agree. But you aren't winning a Super Bowl with that side, that kind of a performance.
Well, you can't give up 30, basically, to Carolina and Buffalo in back-to-back weeks and go, this defense is ready for January. Because it's not. It's not ready for January. But again, this happens every year about this time, right? Mm. We get into the doldrums of 9-2, 11-0, 10-1, and we expect a perfect game. We expect 35-0 every week. It's never going to happen that way in the NFL where you get a 35-0 score anymore. Like those days, the ship has sailed. And so we get into this part of the year where we get frustrated as a fan base, and then they turn it on and they figure out what they need to do and they get the job done and they win a Super Bowl. Right?
I just get frustrated the fact that quarterbacks that you played this year, Lamar Jackson didn't put up 27. Joe Burrow didn't put up 27. Kirk Cousins, who's thrown for 500 yards once and just always gets everybody, didn't score 27. Justin Herbert hadn't found himself yet in the Harbaugh offense. Didn't do it. Brock Purdy was healthy, didn't get to 27. Now all of a sudden, that's why we're having this conversation.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden, Bryce Young, Bo Nix, it's starting to like be able to feel comfortable against this defense, whereas vets and MVPs and playoff quarterbacks weren't.
Like now, it's like they looked at the schedule and got jacked up for the beginning part of the schedule and then went, oh, Bo Nix, Bryce Young, loser here, Baker Mayfield, they're mailing it. Like, but that's exactly like they're defensively, they've been playing up to the level of their competition.
And they're not getting everybody a Super Bowl. They didn't get the Chargers Super Bowl. They didn't get New Orleans a Super Bowl. They didn't get San Francisco a Super Bowl. No. They didn't get Vegas a Super Bowl. They didn't get everybody a Super Bowl. Like, I understand that narrative, but they're not. Because like everybody else didn't play like it. Like, is it only their Super Bowl when it's a complete game all the way through? Because if you're getting everybody a Super Bowl and some games are 26-13 or some games are 22-17, they didn't play well. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I get it. Like, everybody's like, all right, Chiefs, baby, let's go. You know, we're coming off a bye. We're rested. We're going to play to this team's. No, come on. I just think that what's happened is it's the middle of the season. You're sticking to what your blueprint was from week one. Everybody knows what's going on. Look at, I'll do the comp of an athlete. Look at the CJ Stroud effect.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what CJ Stroud likes to do. Everybody knows what his tendencies are. Drastic difference in his rookie year to his sophomore.
Yeah, he's had a big come down.
Maybe there's a little bit of video on what Spags is doing with the defense. It takes one offense to expose it, and then everybody else tries to nitpick it. Now, the offensive side has done a complete 180.
Mm-hmm.
You'd mentioned the numbers.
Right.
They're 12-3, 71% QBR.
And almost 1,300 yards in the last five games.
And the offense now is kind of answered. Now the offense has kind of answered the call, whereas the defense is kind of, take a step back. And now your quarterback's like, I'd love to have a blowout once in a while. Yeah. Not calling anybody out, just kind of being like, I'd rather not have to work my ass off in the last minute, 20 seconds against Carolina.
Right.
And this left tackle that they just signed maybe helps that. Now, again, all I know is that he blew out his ACL, been out for the remainder or for the whole year, and now is available on the Chiefs at left tackle. And anybody right now, in my opinion, is better what's going out there at left tackle.
No, I agree. And look, this guy was one of your top 10 tackles in the NFL when he was healthy. I mean, it's a nice move by Brett Veach. It really is. You didn't have to give up anything. You're paying a prorated, portion of his league minimum contract to come in here and play. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can do, and I'm excited to see if he can make this organization better at that left tackle spot. And at this point in of the year, anything is worth a shot. And that's what I love about Brett Veach, is that he's constantly reevaluating the roster, and they're not just sitting there and going, well, the last couple of weeks we've been good offensively. They know if they continue to get this kind of play out of that left tackle spot, again, it could be a short January, and nobody wants that to be a short January. So if you can fix something, you have to attempt to fix it. And that's what they did, right? That's exactly what they did by going out and getting this DJ Humphreys guy. And so they could have just sat back. They could have just dealt with it. They could have said, Pat, figure it out. But it shows you how important this three-peat really is to them, that they're still going out there the week of Thanksgiving and signing new players to try to get better. And as a fan, you got to love that. You got to appreciate that. You got to respect that and feel good about that, that they're not leaving any stone unturned. They're continuing to go out there and turn over that roster. So hopefully he's an addition that is better than what we've been seeing. How long does it take to get there? I have no idea. I mean, like, we're going to expect this guy to play on Friday? Probably not. Right? He's probably not going to play until the following week, whoever we play after the Raiders now, and give you the opportunity to play. Is it the Chargers, right? Yeah, I guess it is. That's right. Yeah.
December 8th.
December 8th. Yeah.
Big game.
Yeah. Huge game. Huge game. Yeah. Huge game, right?
Especially after what we watched tonight.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
You better believe I'm ready for tonight, boys.
Oh, God. Yeah. Woo. Go Ravens. Let's go.
It's today.
But I think in this situation, you know, you got to get him ready for that game. And so I think they'll probably use this week, short week. He probably won't play on Friday against the Raiders, but hopefully by the time December 8th rolls around, maybe we can get this guy in the lineup and see, you know, what he can do. And hopefully he's got the, you know, the brain power to say, my knee is fine, let me go. Because I know a lot of those guys have to think about their knee for an entire year before they're ready to go. And they think about, am I going to injure it again? Is it going to hurt? Ask anybody who's had an ACL injury. It's always about the mind and thinking, am I going to be able to support myself? Am I going to be able to do that? So if you have that power of positive thinking, get through all that, I think he'll be just fine. But a lot of athletes will tell you, man, it takes a full year after the surgery and the recovery to truly get recovered. So you hope for the best. We'll see what happens. But unless this defense starts stepping up, man, I'll tell you what, the offense is doing everything. They had 9 different dudes catch a pass yesterday, right? This offense is fine. Defensively, play a little bit better. That's all we're asking.
Yeah. Nazi Johnson's a problem too, as we know.
Yep. But is Nazi Johnson a problem, or is it the pass rush not getting there that's allowing these guys to pick Nazi Johnson apart?
Definitely
right?
Both. They're related. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely related.
Related. Absolutely related. If you're not getting to the quarterback, you could have, you know, Deion Sanders back there trying to make plays.
Easy.
And eventually it's going to, you know, fall apart.
Let's keep that down.
A little too close to home for Dustin.
That'll be a little bit later. All those email people will wake up and they can come after me. I allow that. Yeah. If I'm going to be loud and proud and talk about it, get out of town. Get out of town.
Wore my K-State polo on purpose, baby.
I hate being Captain Hindsight. Dude, we drafted Felix and DK Uzomah, and 3 picks later, Sam Laporta got picked.
You have your Travis Kelce.
Although, where's he been this year? Sam Laporta also tanked down in that second round, too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, revisionist history.
I know, but it's like, does anybody actually know why Felix and Duke Uzomah got drafted? Outside of the fact they went to K-State and it was in Kansas City? Because, I mean, that guy was, I mean, come on.
But again, at that point in time, what'd you really need, you know?
Tied in for the future?
I think receiver. You need Noah Gray.
Who knows what I'm saying? Who knows?
They got Rashee Rice in that draft, I know, but I mean, like,
Noah Gray's been was open yesterday wider than anybody's been in 2 years for the Chiefs.
Yeah. Like Xavier Worthy, but he had a sideline guarding the other week.
Yeah.
You think the torch is slightly being passed? You trust Noah Gray?
Trust him?
Because he got the contract extension randomly before the game.
Remember, he randomly got that. Like, what's going on here?
2 touchdowns yesterday. I know we're living in the moment.
Yeah, but he's been good all year.
Yeah.
He's had a nice year. Like, I like Noah Gray a lot. He's shown he can catch the football. He shows he can get open. He shows he can make plays. Like, there's nothing not to like in Noah Gray right now. He's having himself one hell of a season, man.
Like, when you ask if I trust him, that's the perfect word. I trust him more than maybe any other. I mean, he was the only guy who didn't drop a pass last season on that offense when it was all going wrong. Noah Gray was the one sure thing that you could trust. So I'm excited
about
him.
But I mean, start looking at him as a comp to Kelce is ridiculous. You just have to look at him. Is he a good player that you can trust to catch the football? Absolutely. Yes. Does he run good routes? Does he get open? Does he make plays? Hell yeah. Like Noah Gray's locked in, man. I really like what we're seeing out of him.
No doubt about it. No doubt. I mean, I'm okay with that. I mean, you gotta think. Ain't nobody ever gonna be Travis Kelce. But if you can get the next closest thing to him and he's already on your team and he's locked up and he's trusted,
yeah,
Sign me up.
Sign me up for that guy every day, man. I like him.
Something we kind of called what happened for the Royals over the weekend. We've seen this coming. We'll explain. 96.5 The Fan, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Happy Thanksgiving week. Bill Brooks, everybody.
A lot of people excited that Billy Brooks is back, baby.
Bill Brooks in the front seat for your traffic there. That's what we do on Thanksgiving week. We allow you to be thankful for Bill Brooks. Thank you.
People are very excited about Bill Brooks today.
Speaking of the narrative of Thanksgiving week and being thankful, thank you, Brady Singer, for your time in Kansas City.
Why do we have to thank everybody that leaves?
Well, you don't thank everybody that leaves. You thank the ones that are actually, like, you respect.
But I see that a lot. Like guy was here 5 minutes, team puts up, thank you for your time tweet. I'm like, eh.
Or the reunion videos for a guy who played there for a couple months when he comes back. Okay, yeah. What are we doing?
Guy had one play. Here's a reunion video.
Hopefully it doesn't rain a lot in Cincinnati, which is where Brady Singer went.
Yep. Great move by the Royals, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't going to pay him. You have, what, one more year left of control?
Yeah.
And you have your leadoff hitter.
Right.
Right? You got
injuries. Do you like this move? You're more of a baseball dork than I am at this point. But.
So, I mean, I think there's a few things with this Singer trade. The writing was on the wall that he was getting traded the day they signed Waka. Like, that was your three-headed monster. Like, Brady Singer was then, it was like, oh.
You're talking about this year. Yeah.
When they re-signed Waka. Like, everybody went to that, and they're like, all right, we got Reagans, Lugo, Waka, that's our rotation. You're like, excuse me? Mm-hmm. Like, what? Did I say something? No, you didn't say something. You didn't mention Brady Singer, who last year everybody considered them, or him, to be your third starter. You have, I think that's what it was. I think there was one more year of control on Brady Singer. You weren't going to pay Brady Singer. He's going to get money. Somebody's going to pay him. Yeah. First overall draft pick, right? Big number one draft pick that everyone thought was going to be great out of Florida. It didn't really go the way that I think the Royals thought it would go. Plus, he's part of an old regime. So the trickle-down effect in this whole Brady Singer discussion, that's where I think the trade starts. Now, with who you got, you basically essentially kind of traded for the same type of guy and a different organization. Maybe this is a handshakes hand thing for both guys. Maybe when Brady Singer goes and puts on the white jersey with the red C on it, he becomes this guy that maybe he thought he was. And he was good last year.
I'm not saying he was trash.
Like that. You just weren't going to sign Brady Singer.
Right.
That's the way the Royals are, right? Like, that's just how they, that's how they operate. I thought Ver made a good point about Cole Reagans. I'm not sure he gets a massive contract.
I know.
Because if you think about it, because he told me this, he's like, Dusty, where did Cotrero come from? Tampa Bay. What does Tampa Bay do? They don't sign their aces, right? Mm-hmm. Glasnow, Snell, all these guys.
They also don't win championships in Tampa.
Fair. Don't win a lot of championships in Kansas City either.
No, but we got a couple more than Tampa. And what I'm saying is, like, if you're basing it because of what Tampa did, I wouldn't follow everything that Tampa did, okay?
It's more so the act. Like, you're a small market team. You've got to, like, use cheap talent instead of paying for expensive talent.
But Sherman has showed he's willing to pay people, though, too.
Yeah, Waka, Lugo, guys like that, he's not paying. Okay. Generational superstar.
Yeah.
They finally paid him.
But don't you think you're not going to pay Reagans could be that guy from a pitching side of things?
I'll remind you this. He's had two Tommy John surgeries.
I understand. I do get that. But if he continues to do what he's doing, why wouldn't we want to pay
Cole
Reagans, right? I mean, I understand that.
He's a left-handed ace. And if he goes out there next year and wins a Cy Young, which is not a far stretch.
No, it's not.
He's going to want a ton of money. And I don't think that they're going to give him.
And they may not give it to him. There's no question. But I don't think we can judge the Royals based on what we've done in the past when we have John Sherman, who has shown that we're doing things differently here in Kansas City, right? They went out and spent money on a free agent market like we've never seen since Ewing Kauffman, signed their own when they didn't have to like we've never seen. And then I thought made a really good baseball trade, with Brady Singer.
We'll see if India can come back to his rookie of the year type of days.
Exactly, right? Like, a change of scenery sometimes is good, for everybody. Not that Brady Singer needed a change of scenery or anything like that to get better, because I thought he was pretty good. But I think he reached his max level here, and now you have a surplus in pitching, and so you have the ability to deal from your surplus to go out and get somebody that or some position that was needed in this organization. Like, they needed a leadoff hitter, right? They need a second, third baseman, however you're going to use India. I'd like to use him at second base right now. They may use him at third. I don't know, but
I think he might play center field.
He could play the outfield too. Like, he's a very versatile player, and then they got the other guy involved as well. We'll see ultimately. Maybe that ends up being like Wade Davis, where he becomes the big part of this trade, and you look back and go, man, I didn't even know about Wade Davis, and he became better than James Shields did, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I just like this trade because it was time to move on from Brady Singer. He was a guy that you had the ability to trade that could bring you something good back in return. And we all like to trade the bad players, right? We all like to trade, you know, Wanya Morris and expect something back in return. That's just not the way it works. Sometimes you have to part with something good to get something back in return that's good. And I think the Royals got better overall on paper right now because of this trade. And the Reds will probably tell you the same thing too.
I mean, they got an arm. They have a pitcher in their system now, and the Royals have a leadoff hitter. Now mm-hmm. we'll see if he can get back to the days that he was. But to me, it's, you know, it's market versus market. Mm-hmm. The Reds and the Royals, similar markets.
Sure.
They have a guy that they're not going to pay. The Royals have a guy that they weren't going to pay. And it's like, hey, we kind of have a chance, I think, to, you know, be a little bit better than we were last year. And where we lacked in that was, you know, when Michael Massey's out or if he continues to have injury problems, this guy helps you out there.
Sure.
I think this is a lot like this guy, India, kind of reminds me of what he could be, is like the middle ground between Ben Zobrist and Whit Merrifield. Both good players, both similar players. And I think he's kind of in that classification, like, hey, go play left field today. All right. Hey, you're playing third base today. All right. Hey, Massey's out for a week. Second base is your home. But the one thing that'll stay consistent is he will lead off.
If I could tell you right now that he would give you Whit Merrifield numbers when Whit was good here in Kansas City, you'd take those in a heartbeat, right? Like, Merrifield was one of the better hitters in baseball because for a stretch of time.
What this team wants is they want somebody to get on base in front of Bobby Witt.
That's exactly right.
So then you can get the wheel starting. Because if you can go out there and go up 1-2 nothing mm-hmm. in most games, and you know, or in the, you know, first or fourth inning when it's still whatever, or your second time through, you're at least getting a threat to get on base. And again, I think this is basically the same trade for both teams. I think this is a player versus pitcher, but both have a similar backgrounds. Both are just getting out and trying to, you know, figure out something. Because, I mean, this guy was Rookie of the Year.
And both were teammates at Florida, I think, right? Back in the same draft and everything. So, you know, it's a nice baseball trade.
Like, and this is also one of those, it's no longer Dayton's team.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it's JJ's team. Mm-hmm. It's not, and that was a Dayton guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many Dayton guys are left.
Well, you got Salvi, you got Bobby, you got Michael Garcia, you've got Vinny Pasquantino, you've got...
Pitching-wise is kind of where I was at.
Oh, pitching-wise. Yeah. You've got Bubich, you've got Lynch IV, you've got Cole Reagan. Well, no, Cole Reagan's was after Dayton mm-hmm. left, the Gene guy. Gene Pick from Seinfeld. Isbell, if you want to count him,
pitching.
MJ. Oh, pitching. Yeah, I'm just kind of going through the
you mentioned Bubich and Lynch, who are one inning guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was the problem with the organization? It was pitching.
Yeah.
And now it's not pitching. But, so now you've kind of cleaned out, and that's where they're going. And this was a guy that, again, Brady Singer, if he did have another decent year, you were going to let him walk and mm-hmm. get nothing. And now instead you've gotten something, whether you like it or not, you got something because you weren't going to pay Brady.
Right, man. But eventually now you have to start developing that pitching down in the minor leagues. And, and I have no idea where they are in pitching in the minor league system. This is not something I've been following of late, but hopefully they start to develop some of those pitchers, because that's the way you do sustain success. Ultimately mm-hmm. in, you know, a market like the size of Kansas City, you've got to develop your own pitching. You can't go out there and have a Waka and a Luco every year and expect that continue to pay dividends, even though it's been great. Like, those guys aren't going to be out there all the time. So eventually mm-hmm. you're going to have to develop, you know, that young pitching. And that's where the onus now falls on this regime, is to develop starting pitching. If they develop starting pitching, they'll be on top for a very long time.
No doubt about it. No doubt. When you travel for Thanksgiving, are you driving or are you flying?
No, we fly if we go anywhere. Yeah. No driving.
Mac, are you going to Nashville? Are you staying here? You're just going to, okay. I was trying to think about that today, like how many people have to travel for Thanksgiving.
They say every year it's going to be the busiest year ever for travel.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding. Like, watch the local news. They tell you how to pack your suitcase. It's the most ridiculous stuff. Show up to the airport 6 days early to make sure you're there in time. You
I'm
know,
watch the news just to see if they say that.
All that kind of stuff and whatnot. They will. And they'll show you how to get through TSA and all the nonsensical stories that they run.
Is this the first Thanksgiving with the new airport in Kansas City?
No. Oh, no.
Second one?
Yes. Second or third
one. It can't be the third.
One.
There's no way it's a third. That thing wasn't built in 2021. The year after COVID?
I think
this is year two.
I think it's probably year two for Thanksgiving.
Some people may not know how to do it at the new airport.
It's just like every other airport. You show up, you see where it says security, you walk through. It's not that hard.
Yep.
Like some things we dumb down that we don't need to dumb down. Airport travel is one of them. Show up, get on the plane.
It's easy. Everything in life is easy.
It is. Unless you make it hard.
Speaking of, we'll come back on the other side and get to you the dirty little secret and what Andy Reid had to say. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.